WorldTalkRadio.com, the World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Hello, welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we have some interesting guests. Do you find that traditional medical practices leave you asking if there's something more that can help you? Do you use non-traditional methods, but you're afraid to tell your health practitioner for fear that he or she will not approve? If so, you'll be interested in today's program. My guests today are Angela and Eric Myers. They own their own practice called the Medical Healing Center in Tallahassee, Florida. Angela is an advanced registered nurse practitioner, and Eric is a biofeedback technician. They have a unique holistic practice that incorporates both traditional medicine with complementary and alternative methods. We're going to find out about some of those methods today, including a machine, biofeedback machine, that I call a skill. They'll explain it and how it's helpful. If you want to reach them, you can do so at area code 850-309-1669. They're closed on Thursdays, but the rest of the week they're open. So if you want to reach them by email, go to themedicalhealingcenter@comcast.net. Well, welcome, Eric and Angela.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Melanie. We're glad to be here.
Good. Can you tell our listening audience how you two got started in this practice that you have?
Well, I began in 1999 as a part-time practice, and I started out doing dermatology, and then my practice evolved into doing general health for my patients because they would come in and they'd say, well, what do you think about this, and what do I need to do about that? And so I'd give them my advice and recommendations. So in 2001, I started the practice full-time, and approximately 7 years ago, people started coming to our clinic with undiagnosed illnesses. So about that time, my practice evolved into chronically ill patients, as well as autoimmune dysfunction. And autoimmune dysfunction is always an aspect of chronically ill, you know, being chronically ill. And in the last 2 or 3 years, we've begun to assist patients in alternative cancer therapies. So that's kind of how it's evolved. It's been my patients have actually helped me to evolve this practice.
Wow, that's good. That means that you're listening to your patients and that they really matter. And that makes a huge difference because so often patients are not listened to, and the average time that a physician listens to a patient, they say, is about 30 seconds. And I know that you are not like that, and I'm very glad you're not.
Well, thank you.
Can you tell our listening audience exactly what kinds of conditions or diseases that your clinic treats?
We treat chronically ill. Chronic fatigue immune syndrome is one, autoimmune dysfunctions. We also treat environmental and toxic exposures. We do really any chronic illness. It's really been interesting. Due to our success, we begin having, you know, chronically ill patients here in the office, like a lot. And my husband has just started calling, Eric has just started calling our clinic the Clinic of Last Resort. But that's not all we treat. We also treat women and men's health. wellness, and we do, you know, wellness or prevention health, skin care, hormonal imbalances. So we do a lot of therapies on a lot of different types of patients.
Okay. What I've discovered is when you say the treatment of last resort, that's so true because, like many of your patients, I had been everywhere and no one could determine what was wrong, but I knew something was and it wasn't in my head. So I like the methods that you use because other practitioners do not do the things that you do. And it makes a big, big difference.
And
go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, it really does. And I was going to let Eric tell how he got into the practice, if that's okay.
Okay, that would be good. Wrong. Yes, Eric, I'd like to know that.
I joined the clinic in February of 2005, and Angela had already purchased the EPFX SCIO biofeedback system in the fall of 2004, and we both had been trained on the system. In 2005, Angela and I both became certified biofeedback technicians. It only took me one day of biofeedback training to become very fascinated and impressed by the system. And mm-hmm. after operating the system for more than 6 years, its accuracy still amazes both myself and the people that we run on the system.
How long has this system been in existence, do you know?
More than 20 years.
Wow.
And it keeps evolving and evolving as time goes on.
Okay, where did it originally get started? Do you know?
Dr. Nelson, who is the founder of SCIO, is from Denver, Colorado, and
okay.
he worked a lot on it in the U.S., and then he ended up later moving to Budapest, Hungary, where he currently is.
Mm.
And so there are okay. both operations in the United States under the Quantum Alliance, as well as his operations in Budapest, Hungary.
Okay. Well, can you explain in an auditory manner exactly how the SCIO machine works?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
The SCIO system measures the body electrically. Three central measurements that are taken are voltage, amperage, and resistance. Amperage measures the amount of electrical ions in the body. Voltage measures the pressure behind these ions. And then resistance measures the impedance of the electrical flow through the body. Several examples of impedance or resistance are injuries, toxicity, pathogens, allergies, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, hereditary issues, mental factors, and there are others. The SCIO can take measurements at approximately 1/100th of a second per measurement. So measuring the over 10,000 different items that are measured can be done in a relatively short period of time. This data is transferred into the test screen that we then use to search for relevant issues in order to determine the state of the person's health. The SCIO can tell us a wealth of information about a person's health. We can look at everything from fungus, parasites, bacteria, and viruses that the person has been exposed to. We can look at all major organ functions as well as diseases, identify toxins they've been exposed to, look at things such as nerve damage, and many other relevant health issues. You come away from a SCIO session with a very good understanding of the person's overall health.
Okay.
And any relevant issues that we come up with can then be confirmed using traditional medical tests so that we are using the SCIO as a health guide instead of as a diagnostic tool.
Okay.
There are many people who have come to our clinic knowing that they are ill, but not knowing what the problem was. And some of these people have seen dozens of physicians without being diagnosed. And normally Angela will see them first, and then if she feels they need a SCIO, I will see them. And then after their SCIO session, they'll go back to Angela, and she interprets the SCIO results. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've helped hundreds of people figure out what is wrong with them, but not everyone has to see Angela first. Some people who have just heard about Skeel will just come straight to me for a session. So it's not mandatory by any means that they see Angela. And okay. What I've found is the major challenge that many chronically ill people have explained to me over the years is simply trying to figure out what is wrong with them. A key to good health is first knowing what needs to be corrected, and then second, figuring out a way to correct what is wrong.
Okay. Do you have any dramatic cases that you remember, anything you want to share that the Skeel made a tremendous difference?
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
One person that comes to mind had multiple sclerosis, and he was wanted to become a fireman, but the part of the physical that he could not pass was the CT scan because of lesions on his brain. After having a couple of Skeel sessions, and Angela worked with him for about 6 months, he went back and had his physical done again, and the CAT scan did not show any lesions in his brain, and so the MS was no longer a block to him becoming a fireman, and he went on to become a fireman.
Wow, that's dramatic.
And then Angela has a couple here also.
Okay.
Well, one of the other patients that we have both worked with was a patient with came in that had hepatitis B and C and had developed Lyme, but he wasn't able to really get anything other than the hepatitis B and C diagnosed. When he came in to us, he was having a lot of difficulty walking. He was having brain fog. He couldn't think and was really in a high-powered job where he really needed to function. We worked with him. We've been working with him for a long time, and he is doing awesome right now. He actually brags right now about he never gets sick. He says his whole family gets sick, but he never gets sick. And he works really long hours now and is very productive. He can walk down the hall without, bouncing off the walls, and is just doing really, really well. And it's a combination of, I think, everything that we are doing in our practice, which is basically just finding the etiology of what's breaking down the body and fixing it, and determining other issues that are going on, like nutritional deficiency and, other things like that.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about what this machine can do and how it can help people.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's ICHELP, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-HELP, P as in Paul, ICA.
If you are a parent of a child with autism, you know that there can be day-to-day struggles emotionally. Now you can share insights and outlooks with the Mother Cub Show. Your host, Susan Lynn Perry, a parent of a child with autism, will bring a new perspective to the subject, from diagnosis to effective treatments that are working. Her guests will include professionals, authors, and individuals that will bring wonder and hope to the world of autism. Tune in to the Mother Cub Show, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. You're listening to the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, my guests are Angela and Eric Myers, who own the Medical Healing Center. And if you need to reach them, their number is 850-309-1665, or you can email them at themedicalhealingcenter@comcast.net. Well, we were on break. We were discussing some more interesting and dramatic cases that the SCIO has been instrumental in helping figure out what needed to be done. So, Eric, you want to tell us the story about the man from Michigan?
Sure. A gentleman from Michigan was in Tallahassee, and his mother suggested to him that he come and have a SCIO session. And I'll never forget this one. He came in, and I asked him, as I do everyone else, what his primary problem was, and he said it was depression. And I said, okay, would you elaborate on it? And he said the reason why he was suffering from depression was because he was a house painter, and he had been up on a ladder and had fallen off the ladder and badly shattered his ankle. And they had done their best to put him back together, and he could functionally walk, but his problem was the pain was so bad that he could not return to work, and so he was unemployed. He loved his work, and he was very depressed about the whole situation. So we ran a session on him and worked on bones and injuries and ligaments and muscles and healing and just about everything related to that that we possibly could. And at the end of the session, he actually walked down the hallway and said when he was checking out that the pain was greatly reduced in his ankle, and he was hopeful.
Wow.
A couple of weeks later, his mother called and said that he was no longer depressed and that he was very happy because the pain had completely subsided in his ankle. He had gone back to Michigan and started painting again and was just absolutely amazed at the fact that his turnaround had occurred in such a short period of time.
Hmm, that's amazing. I'm sure he'd be glad to give a testimonial to anybody that asks about it. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
Now, if somebody wants to have one of these SCIOs done, does it cost a lot of money?
The price for each SCIO session is $120. And most sessions run approximately 2 hours.
Okay.
And we run a maximum of 4 sessions per day.
Okay. And at the end of that session time, you give them a printout of what you found, what the machine...
That is correct. We print off an organ chart that shows organ function in a numerical range. So mm-hmm. they get that, and they also get a copy of everything that I have written down. It's front and back of a sheet, and I also give them an interpretation sheet because SCIO sort of more or less has its own language, and so it's a 3-page interpretation sheet with 2 pages of terms and definitions, and then the 3rd page has numerical ranges so they can understand where they fall in compared to the norms.
Okay, well that's good because I've got that sheet sitting beside me. And I had never noticed that there were the the ranges of what was normal. So I'm going to go back and look at my SKU and see what it says. Maybe I can understand it better.
And then if anyone ever has any questions, with Angela and I both being trained in biofeedback, either one of us is happy to field questions. And quite often people do call back, and we want them to understand their health, so we're more than happy to go over the sheets with them and give them a better understanding of where they stand.
Okay, sounds good. Now, the cost of this, does insurance cover it?
Unfortunately, insurance does not cover SKIO sessions, and that makes them all self-pay. But this does not seem to discourage people from having a session. We stay quite busy despite the fact that it's all self-pay.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it was money well invested, because we knew what areas to go then do the lab work to validate it. So to me, it was very cost effective.
Yes, I believe that it saves people a lot of time and money and frustration when we can get them pinpointed and get them very quickly headed in the right direction.
It actually...
Go ahead. I was just going to interject something.
It actually saves insurance companies money, since they don't have to run unnecessary tests.
Yes, with our desire in this country to save money on health care, I personally believe that SKIO would be a good tool to help us achieve this.
Mm-hmm. Angela, what were you going to add?
Well, I was just going to add that one of the things we do see is people that don't have insurance, they consider this a really good option to paying like multiple dollars on, you know, labs and things like that, because they can get a general overview of what's going on with their bodies. And then at that point, they can go seek out a doctor if it, you know, looks like they need to, you know, and it kind of, mm-hmm. I think, saves money for people who don't have health insurance.
Oh, I agree. So there are a variety of different things that you work with: nutraceuticals, homeopathic, traditional meds. Can you explain the difference between nutraceuticals and homeopathic and traditional medications?
Yeah, nutraceuticals are vitamin supplements, and they assist in healing or heal. Homeopathy is a medical specialty that uses diluted natural substances known as remedies to stimulate the body's innate capacity for healing. And homeopathy functions around the principle that like cures like. And this is really the foundation of homeopathy. Any substance that causes a combination of symptoms in a healthy, sensitive individual can actually cure similar symptoms in the sick. And essentially, homeopathy gives us a non-harmful way to sample a poison, you know, just if you want to kind of look at it that way. Remedies are so thoroughly diluted that we barely can detect the raw materials. I know I have some combination homeopathies that I use for heavy metals, and people go, well, there's mercury in here, and I have to always explain to them, well, it's diluted down to such a level that you're not really getting the mercury, but you're getting the substance that the mercury does or is that cures the body. And, you know, homeopathy was discovered more than 200 years ago by Samuel Hahnemann, who was a prominent German physician. He was also a chemist and a pharmacologist. So since then, homeopathy has proven really enormously successful in providing individualized health, and it's highly effective for cures of many illnesses without causing side effects or complications. Mm-hmm. So we use a lot of homeopathy, you know, in our practice. Traditional medicines, on the other hand, you know, I really feel like they have a place too. You know, they are pharmaceuticals or drugs. For instance, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of penicillin, amoxicillin. Those are pharmaceuticals or traditional meds. They're good at treating or suppressing symptoms so patients can live with conditions, but they're not usually effective in correcting the underlying cause. And this is what we do. I do use drugs when I need to in critical cases, and I use them also to treat infections. But I also integrate other modalities and treatment to correct or repair the underlying etiology or cause. You know, so I really think that all three of these modalities really do help people. It just, you know, you just have to decide when and where to use them, I think.
And that's something you've got to use your judgment, your experience, your intuition to decide which is better for the person.
And yes, we do. We really, you know, have an approach to treatment. You know, we look at the body as a whole, it's functioning or not functioning. You know, we look at several areas of the body. We establish, you know, whether the patient is nutritionally deficient. We look at dietary habits. We look at microbial invasion or imbalance of that. We look at toxic exposures, cellular dysfunction, hormonal imbalances. We look at the patient's inflammatory status. We also look at the brain neurotransmitter deficiencies, or there may be excesses. We look at organ function. We look, the gastrointestinal system is a big one for me, because 80% of the immune function lies in the GI tract. And we also look at genetic history, because what clinically I found in my practice is that a lot of times with chronic illness, when a patient really gets their body or their functioning so depleted, it's going to end up in a genetic weakness for them. So, you know, genetic history is real important, as well as just the patient history. I mean, we ask where they were born, you know, what did their mother do, because we know that you can get heavy metal transferred in utero. So did the mother, you know, did they work on a farm? Were they around diesel? You know, so we really do go into a lot when we look at treatment for a patient.
Okay. And it sounds like a long, involved process. Is it something it takes a number of sessions or appointments to determine all this, or you can start at the first appointment to determine at least a part of what needs to be done?
I do my history taking, which is pretty extensive, and then I do an exam. And based upon that, you know, we start the process. I always try to get nutritional deficiency done with people. Sometimes they don't feel like they have, you know, the money to do that, but it's very important, because you really can't cure anything until somebody's nutritionally sound. So it just depends. You know, initially we will do a lot. Then I bring the patient back. We see what the clinical response is, and we evaluate the treatment from there, or we decide, well, maybe we've missed something. Let's look at this again, and we'll, you know, maybe do some more testing.
And the part I like is you ask the patient, how do they think they're doing? And do they think the medication's working? So to me, that's incorporating a team effort. It's not just you deciding.
That's correct. Because you know what? What I have discovered in my practice is health really, a lot of health is what the person thinks about themselves and how they're responding, and what they feel good with. You know, I can say, well, I'm sure that you need this product, but if they don't think they need it, I'm not going to use it, because there are other options. And the main reason is because if they don't think it's going to work, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work. Because thinking and emotions and, you know, all that goes into health.
Right. I agree with that, definitely. All right, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about what kinds of treatments you offer.
All righty.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's I-C-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, I-C-A. If you are looking to get started or are currently operating a home-based business, you might be looking for answers. What are the risks? What business should I get started in? How will I market my business? How do I balance my professional life with my other life? For answers, you need to tune into the Home-Based Business Show with Helene Liantzos. Each week, we'll bring you a step-by-step practical guide to starting and maintaining your home-based business. Listen every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, my guests are Angela and Eric Myers, who own the Medical Healing Center in Tallahassee, Florida. If you want to reach them, you can call them at 850-309-1665, or you can email them at themedicalhealingcenter@comcast.net. Okay, let's talk more now about actually what kinds of treatments you offer that are both traditional and non-traditional.
Oh, treatments. Okay. We do a lot of different treatments. You know, of course, we do the SCIO. We offer a hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber. That's really good for, like, brain injuries, brain issues, autism. We use it for resistant Lyme treatment, any kind of aerobic, you know, or anaerobic infection. That's, you know, there are pathogens that really can't survive in an oxygen environment. We use it for that.
Can you explain what the chamber is like? You know, what does it look like? What does the person do?
It's a little, Eric, you help me
sure.
with that one.
It's a round cylinder with a metal frame inside, and the outside of the cylinder is basically a thick vinyl, and it's approximately 7 feet long and about 3 to 3.5 feet in diameter. And it zips at the top, and there are windows on the sides. There's a main window that you can look out of, and we can look back in to see the patient's head. There's also a foot window at the other end. Excuse me. And basically, the patient goes, climbs into the chamber. We have a zipper on the inside as well as on the outside that zip up. And then we turn on two air pumps and an oxygen concentrator. And it pumps in somewhere in the neighborhood of 30% pure oxygen into, or excuse me, closer to 40% pure oxygen into the chamber, and then it pumps up, and it goes all the way up to 4.25 PSIs. That is full strength. Some people cannot tolerate it all the way, so we have a valve that we can open to reduce the pressure or to hold them at a lower pressure. And most people are able to get up to the 4.25 PSIs, and we run the session for a period of 1 hour, and then very slowly deflate them, And when you are inflating and deflating, it more or less feels like when you're going up in an airplane, your ears will pop, and so you sort of get the similar sensation of taking off in an airplane.
Hmm. It sounds like space age type things. Very interesting.
It's very relaxing, and some people even fall asleep during their sessions.
Okay, how many sessions is an average that somebody uses to take care of a problem?
You know, that really depends on the patient and the condition. We have some people coming in once a week. For instance, we have a patient now that has Alzheimer's, and we're working to stop the progression and doing very well with that. You know, this patient comes in once a week. So it just depends. We've had wound people that, you know, will come in twice a week. So it just really depends.
And is this something the person has to pay out of pocket for as well?
Insurance will pay for some diagnosis, but it depends on the diagnosis, like for poor wound healing, just certain diagnosis, and I'm not real familiar with all of that. My office staff actually does that part of it, and some they don't, but we do make it very affordable. It's $60 an hour, and I think we're probably the cheapest around, but, you know, we...
Sounds like it.
Yeah, we want to make things affordable for people because we really, you know, it's fun making people healthy. It's very rewarding. You know, some of the other things we do is IV nutritional therapies. We do IV chelation for heavy, we do a lot of heavy metal toxicity, and we do it for cardiovascular issues as well.
Can you explain chelation? Because our listeners may not know what that is.
Oh, okay. Chelation, we use, you can use several chelators depending on what toxicity you're dealing with or, you know, what you're trying to do with the patient. They're the amino acids, like the disodium EDTA is a, it's a synthetic amino acid, and it has a molecular structure that has an affinity for calcium. For instance, to get the calcium out of the blood vessels, which can cause plaque. And it also has an affinity for metals. So it can bind with the calcium and the heavy metals, and it brings it out of the body through the kidneys. And we've just had phenomenal results with this. Did I answer your question?
You did, and you said the IV nutritional IV therapy too.
The nutritional IV therapy. A lot of people with chronic illness, they really have an absorption problem because of the cellular dysfunction and because of the GI tract is usually very dysfunctional. And so, what we do is we will go ahead and use nutritional therapies to get nutrition into them. We also use, like, the high-dose IVC. We use that with alternative cancer therapies with cancer patients. We also use it. I use it in Lyme disease as well. It it acts like an antibiotic and also like a chemo drug. Then we do alpha-lipoic acid IV, and that's used for diabetes and particularly diabetic neuropathy and also for liver issues, liver damage, just getting the liver to start functioning again, liver cancer.
Now, when a person has the chelation or nutritional IV therapy done, what can they expect? You know, time-wise, and what are they going to feel like afterwards, what kind of side effects, things like that.
Well, you know, when you're doing nutritional IVs, patient usually just, they feel wonderful. I mean, they just get, you know, we use it a lot in the fatigue, and so they just, their energy levels come back. Sometimes it doesn't really show up until, like, the second or third IV. And maybe even the fourth or fifth, depending on how, you know, dysfunctional the patient is. With the high-dose IVC, You can get a lot of different things happening there. People, if you have, like they're killing, if the sea is killing a lot of pathogens or, you know, microbials that are causing infection in people, you can get a detox reaction or a Herxheimer reaction, which is where the sea actually kills a lot of the bacteria or virus or whatever it is, and you get your body gets overloaded with that, and so you kind of get really tired. You may have more joint pain, but then, you know, the next day or two you feel great. So it just depends. I have done high dose IVC before, and when I did it, I had an eye infection, and I didn't think I got rid of the eye infection, and I went in there and I did a high dose IVC. And there was another nurse practitioner sitting in there with me, and all of a sudden my eye just got really red and watering. It was just like that infection had just come back. And the nurse practitioner says, "What's going on?" You know, but it was actually killing the rest of the infection in my eye. And then after I stopped the IV, you know, my eye kind of it cleared up after that. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on a little bit, but can you tell our listeners what kinds of conditions or diagnoses that non-traditional methods treat?
We actually treat any kind of chronic illness. Are you talking about the IVs? Is that what you just said?
Well, the IVs, chelation, the hyperbaric chamber, you know, what things do they take care of? You mentioned some of them, but is there anything else that it takes care of or helps that you haven't mentioned?
Well, heavy metal toxicity, and, you know, like environmental exposures, you know, it's really good for that. We've also, I did have one patient that came to me from out of town, actually, and was going to be here for a few weeks, and he had diabetes, and he said that he does this to control his diabetes, and they wanted him to take medication, and he doesn't have to take medication at all when he does the chelation. It's helped, you know, kidney function. It's helped unclog arteries. Mm. So we see, you know, a lot of what we see and we use the IVs on are for, like, chronic fatigue, immune syndromes, chronic pain, Lyme disease, co-infections of Lyme, autoimmune dysfunction, toxic exposures. You know, people can even do, you know, I have people that come in that just want to get a nutritional IV just as a part of wellness. And just every once in a while, people will come in to do a high-dose IVC just to make sure that their body's, you know, fairly cleaned out. And the sea does boost the immune system as well.
Okay. So what diagnostic tools do you use to determine that somebody has Lyme or they have heavy metal toxicity? I know the tests, the biofeedback test that Eric does, but what kind of lab work or things do you use to determine those diagnoses?
We use Fry Labs. We will go ahead and use Fry Labs, which is a lab that specializes in Lyme disease and co-infections and just chronic fatigue stuff, because there's a lot of other organisms out there that can cause chronic fatigue. I also use Igenix, which is another lab. So we use those. And also, you know, when you're dealing and diagnosing Lyme, you know, the Center for Disease Control really says that because it's so difficult to pick up a positive Lyme test that you don't actually have to have a positive test. You really need the clinical history. You need to have, you know, a tick bite or some exposure and the symptoms, and you can base your diagnosis on that. So
okay.
But we do a lot of other outside testing. We do GI panels, hormone testing, the vitamin analysis. We look at, you know, we do food sensitivity and allergy testing. We can test the Tolamer, which is an anti-aging test. we just do a lot of different testing to determine different aspects of what's going on wrong with the patient.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take World Talk Radio on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's I-C-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, ICA.
Listen.
Listen.
The world is talking. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. My guests today are Angela and Eric Myers, owners of the Medical Healing Center in Tallahassee, Florida. If you want to call to make an appointment, you can call at 850-309-1665, or you can email them at themedicalhealingcenter@comcast.net. Okay, so we've talked about people with chronic illnesses, but other people who may not have chronic illnesses might want to make this advantageous for them to come and find out if there's something going on they're not aware of. So is it just chronic illness people that you see, or who else would benefit?
We do women and men's health. We do prevention, wellness. We look at anti-aging. We do a lot of wellness. I do skin care on people. We do physicals, you know, work physicals. Mm-hmm. We basically see the full gamut.
Okay. How does a person get to you? Do they have to have a referral, or can they call and make their own appointment?
They can call and make their own appointment.
Okay. And then if they need to be referred to somebody else, are you able to do that?
Yes. I do a lot of referrals, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. Well, there's a particular technique that you use that I have been a recipient of, and we talked about this when Henry Hall was on, our nutritional expert, but explain to our listening audience exactly what is muscle testing.
Okay, muscle testing. I actually prefer to call it energy testing. Energy testing, it's developed as muscle testing, and it was developed by George Goodhart. Okay. And he's the founder of applied kinesiology. And then it was refined by his protege, Alan Bairdrol, in a very concrete and intangible procedure. It really allows you to determine whether an energy pathway is flowing or blocked whether an organ is getting the energy it needs to function properly, or whether an outside energy, such as the energy of a particular food or a suspected toxin or a medication or vitamin, is used, that could harm your system. And again, I just prefer to term it energy testing, because to me it emphasizes the objective of the test, which is not to determine the strength of the muscle, but rather how the body's energies are flowing through it. And you know, I have yet to find a medical device that can reliably make the subtle determinations that energy testing does. The way that I do this is I align my energy properly with the energy of the person that I'm testing. And really, the test works regardless of the other person's strength.
Or belief.
I mean, they can act absolutely. In fact, I've had patients say, "Oh, yeah, that's going to work on me," and it just doesn't, and they just look so puzzled. It's kind of interesting. I then establish a known energetic compatible question, and usually that question is the person's birth name. However, I will have to tell you, it's been real interesting. Some people really don't like their birth name, and they aren't as strong. And so I say, well, what? And I'll say to them, you don't like your birth name, do you? And they'll go, no. And I'll say, what name do you go by and like? And so I'll ask that. And so we determine, you know, the strength, or I call it a positive control that I can, you know, guide myself by. And then I test from there, you know, whatever it is I need to test on them, and it determines what's good for their energetic field or flow. And that's basically how I use it in my practice. Very effective.
And yes, it is. And what I found is I might be on something, and then I bring the supplement or medication with me when I come for the next visit, and you test me and says, nope, not now. Now you need to change to something different, or
it's
finished
its
work.
The energy fields can change. And, you know, where one time this wasn't good for you, it's now you don't need it anymore. So it is real important. You made a good point there, Dr. Melanie. It's real important to kind of recheck those things.
And to ask, as you do, ask the patient, what do they think? Because if, like you said, if they don't want something to work, then they might thwart it from working or taking it the way you prescribe it. So.
Exactly.
A person's attitude can really make a difference. Well, if a person cannot come to Tallahassee to visit you, how can they find somebody in their area that does the kind of work that you do, which is very unique? So I'm not sure there is anybody that does what you do. But
what would they
do to look for that kind of person?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we do see people from out of our state, and they come down, and I do a lot of phone consults. But if, for instance, I've got a patient up in Boston that needs to have IV chelation done and obviously can't get down here as often as they need to, you know, you can look up ACAM, which is the American College of Advanced Medicine, which I'm a member of, and they will give you a listing of healthcare providers in the area that you live in.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's very helpful. But to do the kinds of things that you do you recommend that the person interview the health practitioner before they go and pay for a lot of testing or supplements?
Absolutely. And they need to feel very comfortable with who they're with. Yeah, I agree with that.
And what I have tried to explain to people that are waiting in the waiting room when they come to see you is, you take the amount of time that you need with each person. So people might say, well, my appointment was at 3 o'clock. It's 3:30. And I'll go, yes, but when it's your turn, then you'll get all the time that you need. And so they go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So I think that that is so different of what you do, because most doctors and health practitioners, they're in and out in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't do that.
I just honestly can't function that way. I mean, once you get into a problem with a patient, you can't just drop it sometimes, because you'll never get that patient back to where they need to be to resolve that issue or talk about that issue. And so it's real important. And, you know, I love all my patients. They are so great. And I think that the majority of them, the ones who have worked with me for a while, they know that. And they know that one day they're going to be in that room and they are, you know, going to be in the same situation where I'm going to have to take some time with them. And we stay late to get the job done. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way we are, you know, because to us it's like, it is such a rush to see people go from not being able to walk down a hall to taking college courses now. You know, it's just awesome. And know that you had some little part of that, you know, just a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you'll come back and be our guest again. So
Alrighty.
Please tune in again next week to the Dr. Melanie Show. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.